been sung 100 times before.
And it's Saturday morning. You're tuned in to Rosie on the House radio program, the same program that's been on air for 28 years. But the good news, unlike the same old cowboy songs, it's the same program and broadcast, but it's a different story, a different topic, a different lesson you can learn every single week simply by tuning in your radio dial. We are broadcasting live today in Tucson. Now, the 7 o'clock hour is only heard in Phoenix and Sedona. So when getting the hour put together, we don't really have a housing topic. 8 o'clock, we talk in the outdoor living hour, landscape, gardening, trees, agricultural, food produce, production, everything outdoor living. 9 o'clock is the complete open line where we take calls about anything and everything you, the Arizona homeowner, want to talk about. And then at 10 o'clock, it's a specific housing topic. Well, when we started the 7 o'clock hour on Valentine's Day of this year, about nine months, we've never really set a particular theme. And what we get feedback on most of all is that people enjoy that. And because it can be anything. It can be whatever we want. It can be current events. It can be historic. It can be whatever we want. And so I'm trying to think, okay, I'm going to be in Tucson talking to a Phoenix and Sedona audience. What am I going to talk about? But it occurred to me, I'm going to talk about Tucson. Growing up in the Phoenix metro area, I was born at Scottsdale Memorial Hospital. We lived there off of Cave Creek for a while. It was the first home I remember. And then we moved to New River for a handful of years, and then on Hayden Road, and that's where Mom and Dad still live today. And about 12 years ago, I moved out to the unincorporated town of Whitman, which is between Sun City and Wickenburg. And I never really had a reason to go to Tucson. Dad's oldest sister lived here for about 10 years, and I remember once coming down for Christmas. They took us to a neighborhood where all these homes were lit up with decoration, but I probably wasn't a teenager yet, so I really didn't know Tucson very well. And there was a lot of stereotypes about Tucson. And I've actually got Noel Kurtz, regular listeners that have tuned in before and pay attention have heard Noel before, generally at the Saba Home Show as the director here talking about what's going on at the Saba Home Show. She's now actually the Rosie on the House Southern Arizona rep.
Yep.
And it came down here this morning. I told her, yeah, you don't need to get here till 7:30, 8 o'clock. Take your time. It's the broadcast is real easy to set up. And she texted me at 6:30. I'm leaving. I'll be there in a half hour. You need anything? She's right on the spot. And so last minute, I thought, well, I'm going to bring Noelle into the introduction here because you are also somebody that grew up in the Phoenix metro area.
Yeah.
Peoria High School.
No, actually Apollo. Yeah, I grew up in that right near Peoria. I mean, obviously I was in Glendale and grew up there my whole life until I went to college and I actually came down to Tucson. So that was my first experience coming down to the Tucson area.
And the stereotypes are pretty typical. It's Little Mexico. It's dirty. There's nothing to do there. It's a liberal town. And so I heard these stereotypes. That's my only frame of reference for Tucson. And 2004, KNST picked us up. Mm-hmm. And we used to do a specific hour just for Tucson. At that time, we broadcasted 10 to noon in Tucson. So there was 10 to 11 where we were talking to Phoenix and Tucson. And then that last hour, it was just Tucson. And it took years for us to feel like we had anybody listening. It was just, if there's a scent of Phoenix on anything in Tucson, it is like shunned by the locals. It's not a chip on your shoulder. It's like a Quasimodo lump on their shoulder that they have towards Phoenix. And it took years for us to feel like anybody was listening or cared or were interested in doing anything in their homes. And during those first few years, I never really traveled Tucson much. The studio, KNST, is right on Oracle and Fort Lowell, Miracle Mile.
Yep.
So you come in on I-10, and it feels like you've been in the city forever because you start at Marana, and the street signs, it's, you know, orange 4 miles. You got river, and I mean, just it seems like you've been driving forever, but you're just actually starting Tucson by the time you get to the Miracle Mile exit, and then you know, the only thing you see pretty much driving in, a couple bars and the cemetery, and then you've got the studio. So that was, even for the first couple of years, I never really saw much. And when we did the Saba show, you just go a couple more miles down the exit, and the freeway is a stone throw away from the convention center. So it wasn't until about 5 or 6 years where I actually started doing a little bit more traveling in Tucson. And it, what's led to that traveling was actually a distant cousin. We don't know exactly. We haven't counted. I mean, past second or third cousin, do you know how to count?
No.
No. So back in the 1830s is where our family bloodlines merge. He is a Romero from New Iberia, Louisiana, where the Romero, Spanish Romeros, landed when they got to New Orleans. I'm sorry, to Louisiana. He had, Ferdinand Romero had 4 sons. 2 of them were married and brought Spanish wives. 2 were unmarried and married into the Cajun French people that were there. And that's where we got the Romero name. And so he is one of those descendants. And he was working at U of A as, get this, the director of recreation.
Oh, wow. That's a great job.
That's a great job. And he actually came up to the crawfish festival because he heard there was crawfish in Camp Verde. And I had no idea who he was. I just had my plate of crawfish. There was an open seat across from him on these bench seatings. And I sat down and just started talking. And his friend sitting next to him listened to Rosie on the House. And after about 3 minutes, he said, you know what? I know your voice. You're Rosie on the House. And I said, yes. And he slaps Richard. And he says, this is your cousin. This is Richard Romero from New Iberia. I know you guys are related. And we started talking and looking, and sure enough.
Oh, wow.
So getting to know Richard, my distant cousin, his wife was an accountant here in Tucson. And they had a daughter who went to high school here. I stayed with their home a few times coming down to do work. He took me all around. He got me involved in the Jazz Bluegrass Festival that's out at Reed Park every year. And after those experiences, I started to realize, you know what? Tucson has a lot more to offer than the stereotype it's been given. And it really is a neat place to visit. So I wanted to spend this hour talking about, if you've taken that stereotype and that's your only frame of reference for Tucson, to kind of open the door to see what more you can discover. Just it's an ugly drive, but it's only 2 hours from Phoenix.
It is. But you know, when I came from Phoenix and I came down here, what was interesting is after 4 years of spending time here, I went back for about 8 months is all I lasted, and then I was back in Tucson. So I graduated in May, and by the following January, I was back in Tucson.
Phoenix was just too big.
Yeah, and I just, there's a uniqueness down here. You know, like you said, it was very hard to break in, you felt like, but once you're in, then, you know, you're part of the fold. And so that was a nice thing. And people have a stereotype that it's very small here. And it's actually, if you look at kind of the outlying suburbs and stuff, I mean, you're up to about 1 million people. And when I say that, some people are shocked. They're like, no, there's not that many. And there actually are. So,
which is one thing I always laughed about coming down, is people would tell me here that have been here a long time, we're a small town and everyone knows everyone. I'm like, you're 1 million people. You're a third the size of Phoenix. Welsh, Louisiana, 3,000 people. That's a small town.
Yeah.
And even then, the only person that knows everyone's the mailman.
But, you know, they're going to cling to that because that's what it does feel like. It can have 1 million people, but I think that's what makes it unique, is it does feel like a small town, even though it is quite big.
And the fact that there's a freeway, you only have 10, and that's on the western third of the town. So if you're east of I-10, and you don't have a reason to ever cross it, not having those freeways all over the place really helps keep that culture.
Yeah, it does. And it also makes it longer to get places, but it does keep the culture. You are right.
So, in doing some searching, we were like, okay, we've got to find somebody local in Tucson that we can bring on the air for this hour who can talk about something special. One of the first things that came to mind was Old Tucson Studios. I've never been there, but my grandfather made sure growing up, Charles Seiver, that we saw every cowboy movie ever made at least 100 times. I mean, he made sure we got the Old West culture. And so Old West Studios was the first one that came to mind. I called them, and they called me back and said, well, we're going to have a gentleman call you. I think he'll be good for your program. And I talked to him yesterday, and the more we talked and talked and talked, he had so much to offer. I said, you know, you're going to join us the whole hour. His name is Van, just like a driving van, a vehicle van, Van Fowers, like flower, but without the L. He is retired executive chef from Marriott right here in Tucson. And he is, from my conversations with him, like the local tour guide. He gives tours at the old Tucson studios. He gives tours at downtown Phoenix. He was working at the Arizona Museum yesterday. He gives tours. I'll let him run down the list because it was more than I can remember. Van, are you with us this morning?
I am.
Good morning, sir. And
good morning.
Which tour did I miss and all that?
Well, you started off just perfect. Old Tucson is also where I'm headed to in the next couple of hours. I'll be doing some tours out there and some of the vignettes, but I also work on five other historical ranches around the area. So I work on those ranches and give tours out there and historical little stories about the ranches. They're all very similar, but very different and unique in their own way. And the downtown tours are very interesting. A lot of people just see the hustle and the bustle of what there is today, but don't really look beyond that. They don't really understand what this was like back when this was Spain. So there's an awful lot that's out here, and I don't even think I've even begun to scratch the surface, really, myself. But it is very, very interesting.
And you came here originally from the south side of Chicago.
Yes. Yeah. And so this was a big culture shock when I first got out here. Within 2 weeks, I had the shakes. There were no sports teams out here. There was no nightlife, and the food was actually a lot different. And when you're raised a certain way and that's all you know, that's kind of what you get used to. So it took me a little bit of time to get used to this area, but this is my second time here. I got here back in 1976, and I came back in 1991, and I am not leaving. There's just way too much down here.
There is, and we're going to start covering those right after this.
All right.